I want to bring to you tonight a message from another question in the Word of God, New Testament tonight, 1 Corinthians. Would you turn there? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The Lord willing, tomorrow morning, I won't have a question as the text. I have my sermon outlined and thoughts, unless I come across something that fits. But this will be the last of them, I think. But it's been a blessing to be with you and try to preach the Word to you. And as I told you, I think last night, Brother Graham, like Brother Grady, I enjoyed it, and I hope you did. It's been a blessing to me to be with you. Let's look, brethren, together at this spring meeting service at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. It contains yet another question. Paul the Apostle writing to church people, believers in Christ. I think he refers to them in the first chapter in the greeting. He calls them, I need to turn to there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says Paul is writing, an apostle, unto the church of God at Corinth, them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. And so that's to whom he's writing. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. So let's, brethren, may God bless us to profit tonight from this, and may He be glorified by it. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, brethren, and ask Him to teach us by His Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the privilege to meet in your house yet again. Thank you for this sanctuary. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for the time of prayer and the prayers offered. Thank you for hearing us and being merciful to us. Thank you for this wonderful day that you've made, and for causing us to know you and love you, to realize that you saved us from our sins through the shed blood of Christ Jesus, and that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Teach us tonight, and may we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. May we, Father, draw closer to you, learn more about you. May we learn to better serve you. Help those in special need on the prayer list of this church and on our hearts, those that we know. We need thee every hour. And as we come to this time of preaching the gospel, certainly, Father, I know I need you, and I beg you to be with me that I might be nothing more than a messenger boy from God to your people. May I have acceptable words. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Come by your Holy Spirit and teach us, and may we worship you in spirit and in truth. In the name of Jesus, we beg it, the name above every name. Amen. Thank you, preacher, brethren, for being here. It's a pleasure to see you there, and God bless you and your ministry, and thank you for your prayers. I want to read this question again, brethren. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? What a wonderful statement. There's a lot in there, brethren, and God opened it up to us, we pray. I want to give you a quote about that deals with that. It's a quote from John Gill's commentary, and it says this: the Holy Spirit in regeneration and sanctification, when He begins the good work of grace on a person, takes possession of his whole person, soul and body, and dwells therein as in his temple. Now, it is most abominably scandalous and shameful that the body, which is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, which is sacred to Him as a temple, should be defiled. That's a wonderful statement, truth there. A comment on that. The title of the lesson tonight is two words, spring cleaning. Spring cleaning. There's this New Testament verse here, Scripture, talks about our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit, that it dwells in us, and that we ought to be very, very careful about what comes into our bodies, our minds, our bodies, how we use our bodies. And there is an account in the Old Testament that parallels the thoughts, or parallels this teaching about the Holy Spirit in our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it deals with the literal temple in Jerusalem. And I want to go there tonight. I want to read that account. It's a historical account of something that happened with regard to the temple in Jerusalem. It got defiled. And so, would you turn there to the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, please? Nehemiah. It's more toward the beginning of the Old Testament than the end. There's Kings and Chronicles, I believe, and then Ezra, and then Nehemiah. I believe that's the order. It's toward the end of the book of Nehemiah. As you turn there, you recall that Nehemiah was the wall builder, right? He was in captivity, and God worked such with the king, Xerxes, I believe, to allow Nehemiah to return to Jerusalem. Nehemiah had gotten word. He had asked about the Jews that were back in the homeland and the condition, and it was a sad condition that it was in. And he wept and fasted and prayed because he said he was told the remnant that was there, that were left there, are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down. The gates thereof are burned with fire. That's in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3. And it says, Nehemiah says, I sat down and I wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed. Oh, there's a lot of lessons in there, and a lot of preaching, a lot of studying in there. And Nehemiah prayed, and God moved in the heart of the king to grant him permission, not only permission to go back, but protection, letters of authority to go with him, and to help him in rebuilding that wall. And I know you've read many times and heard preaching about that wall being rebuilt. The people had a mind to work. So many lessons in that. And that wall was rebuilt around Jerusalem. And apparently Nehemiah returned. I want to go to chapter 13, if I didn't say that. Chapter 13. At some point, apparently, Nehemiah returned back to his job there. He was the king's cupbearer. And then he returned to Jerusalem at some point. And this is on his return there, I guess second return maybe. And I want to read in Nehemiah chapter 13 this account of how a certain condition in which he found the temple there. And keep in mind, as we read this, brethren, keep in mind that verse about our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we'll see parallels there and lessons in this, God willing. Verse 4, chapter 13 of Nehemiah. And the first three words are, and before this. Before the events that he's about to describe to us. Something else happened. That's in the first part of the chapter. We won't go into it. You can read it. But we'll go with verse 4. It says this. Eliashib, the priest. Now that's a priest there in Jerusalem. That's of the Levitical order. He's a priest. Some say he was the high priest. It's unclear, but he was a priest. And of course, that's an important job, an important position, a lot of responsibility. Eliashib, the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God. That's talking about the temple. Eliashib, this priest, he had oversight of the chamber of the house of our God. There were in that temple, there were rooms in there. Like at the church here, the church building, there are lots of rooms back there, and they're put to various uses. I mean, they're sort of housekeeping uses. This room is for worship, of course, and the preaching of the gospel. But the other rooms are needful back there, and they're attached to this church, this edifice. And in the temple day, there were rooms there, and they were used for various things. And this priest, Eliashib, he had oversight of those rooms. With his position came the authority to assign and give permission, I think, for the use of certain rooms. When I was reading this in the past, and I was reading it last night and today, I thought about, I don't know who has the final say over the use of the rooms here, but somebody does, or some committee, maybe the deacons, I don't know, but somebody needs to make that decision. Somebody's got to do it. You got to have order. And I know, having my secular job as a judge, and when I was a prosecutor, I had a job in the courthouse. And of course, as my judge job, I had an office in the courthouse. And I learned over the years that it's very important to people who gets what space, you know, and who has control over that space. And there were times when I would hear that the people next door were maybe going to move, and of course I felt like at times I needed more room. And I would go to the man over the authority, had the authority, and he'd say, "Oh, that's long been assigned, long already. I was way late on that," because word gets around, you know, and people they see space and they want that space. So it's important. And this man, this priest, he had that oversight of who got to use and what the space was used for. These rooms, these extra rooms, as I understand it. Now this priest, brethren, I want a sad thing. Listen to this. He was allied, in verse 4, unto Tobiah. Tobiah was an ally of his. I think, actually, Tobiah had married into the family, I think. But let's look at who Tobiah is, brethren. Now, this is a priest in Jerusalem, a Jew, a man of God, a Hebrew, and he's allied to this fellow named Tobiah. Would you go back to chapter 2, verse 10. These are, of course, the early words in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah has returned from the land of captivity, and he's in Judea, he's in Jerusalem. And he has surveyed the city and the wall, and he is about to begin the process of rebuilding the wall. And so, brethren, as with this work, as with about any good work, it meets with opposition. Do you know Satan is our enemy, and he fights us, and he doesn't want to see the work of the Lord prosper or go on. And so, as in our day and in Nehemiah's day, he met with opposition. Verse 10 in chapter 2 says, "When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah," there he is, "Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite," now this is an Ammonite, brethren, that Elisha is allied with, "when they heard of it," heard of what? The good hand of God upon Nehemiah and the work of the rebuilding of the wall is going to start. "When they heard of that, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel." Now that's man Tobiah. That's the kind of fellow he was. And look, go to verse 19 in this same chapter. "But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it," that's the verse above says the people say, "Let us rise and build." "When they heard that, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, 'What is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king?'" They invoking government there in the king's name. "And what do y'all think you're going to do? What you think you're going to do?" Now go to verse chapter 4, would you? Chapter 4, we're looking at a description of this man Tobiah that was an ally of the priest in Jerusalem. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. "The enemies are going to scoff at God's people. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he said before his brethren and the army of Samaria," and said, he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria, and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." Now that's Tobiah, brethren. That's him. And then we go to the end of the book and read this. Elisha, the priest, He had oversight of the chamber of the house of our God. He was allied unto Tobiah. What an unholy alliance. And it's going to lead to the defilement of the temple. Watch this. Verse 5. He, Eliashib, that priest, had prepared for him, Tobiah, a great chamber. That's a big room there in the temple, buildings of the temple, where aforetime, this is what this room had been used for in the past, and it was a wonderful use. They laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, these items that were used in sacrifice and offering, and the vessels and the tithes of the corn, new wine, oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites, and the singers and the porters, and of the offerings of the priest. That space, brethren, aforetime had been used for a godly and a useful purpose. The vessels of the temple were kept there, the frankincense that was used in the offerings, the tithes that were the people brought in for the Levites was put in that room. But brethren, Eliashib the priest had cleared all that out and given that space to Tobiah. Isn't that an odd thing to happen? And then now in verse 6, Nehemiah says this. I think he wants us to know this. But in all this time, was not I in Jerusalem. Nehemiah says, I wasn't around when that was happening. He had gone back, but he returns. He'd gone back to his job for the king, and now he's back. But in all this time I was not at Jerusalem, for in the 32th year of Artaxerxes, the king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king. He got permission to go to Jerusalem yet again. And I came, verse 7, I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah. He found out what had been going on in his absence, in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. The temple, brethren, had been profaned and polluted. And this is Nehemiah's, this is the effect it had on him. And it grieved me sore. He was grieved over it, brethren. And now, please note this, what this man did. Therefore, I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. And he grabbed it, brethren, and he just threw it out the door. No apologies, just grabbed it and threw it out. It doesn't belong here. Not only does it not belong here, it has no business here. Not only does it have no business here, it stinks. It's profane. It's out of here. In my work over the years, prosecuting and judging, I've come upon cases where the evidence has been that a man would come home sometimes and his stuff would be out in the front yard. The wife had thrown it out because he had profaned himself or their relationship, and she had enough of it. He'd come home to find his personal effects on the lawn. And so that's sort of like this, isn't it? I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. God bless him for doing that. Verse 9, then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers. They washed them down, brethren. They got out the Lysol and they cleaned it up because it was polluted. They cleansed the chambers. And thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God. Not only did he throw out Tobiah's household stuff and clean the place out after everything was gone, disinfect it, he brought back, brethren, the things that belonged there, the vessels of the temple, and the frankincense used in the offerings, and the tithes of grain and so on that were given to the priest. Don't you appreciate somebody that'll do that? They don't ask permission. They just know what needs to be done, and they do it. Well, that's that. Now, brethren, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 6:19. Let's go back there, and that's the temple. in Jerusalem and it having been polluted and it having been purified and things set straight again. I want to read the verse that we read at the outset. The question, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Rather than that temple there that Nehemiah cleansed, it didn't belong to him, but it was from God. And he loved it, and he respected it, and he guarded it, and he took care of it, did what he needed to do. Do you see the parallel there? Do you see where I'm going here? Our body, my body, when I was regenerated, when I was born again, the Holy Spirit of God took up residence in my body and in my spirit. It became God's then. And I'm not my own. He's in me. And I have that of God. And the last phrase says, you are not your own. Why am I not my own? Verse 20 says, for I am bought with a price. I belong to God. He's bought me through the shed blood of Jesus. I can't just do what I want to do. I can't. I don't belong to me. How many times in my generation growing up in the 60s did I hear, I've got to find myself. I've got to find my freedom. Oh, man. I tell you how to find yourself is find yourself belonging to God and in the Word of God and walking in, with God and serving Him. That's true happiness we talked about last night. For ye are bought with a price. I mean, I'm bought with a price. I'm bought and paid for. I'm bought, paid for by the blood of the Lamb. The most precious price, priceless. Therefore, because of that, brethren, glorify God in your body. I have a duty, brethren, to glorify God in my body. I have a duty to keep under my body, to bring it into subjection. I have a duty to present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. And you have that duty. You have that duty and that privilege. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The Holy Spirit resides in me, and what I need to do, brethren, and what you need to do, I this is the spring meeting right here. Y'all have it on your bulletin. I've read it many times. And I need to do, and you may need to do, some spring cleaning. Spring cleaning. That's what Nehemiah did. He did some spring cleaning. He got to work, brethren. He said, I won't tolerate this. I'm not putting up with it. And he took the action that needed to be taken. And I need to continually examine my own life and see what the situation of the temple of my body is in. And I need to purge things out of it. Because in Nehemiah's absence, unholy things inhabited the temple in Jerusalem. And in my absence, if I'm not vigilant and watching and guarding, brethren, unholy things come into my life. And when that happens, brethren, I need to do some cleaning. I need to clean it out and disinfect and restore the holy things that need to be there. Whatsoever things are pure, lovely, so on, good report, honest. That's what I need to keep in my life, in the temple of my body. Spring cleaning. I need to keep those in. Not only to cast out the unholy things and the profane things, but to restore the things that belong there. Not let things that don't belong there get into my body. I pray that God will give me the grace to do that and you the grace to do that. Spring cleaning. It's the springtime of the year. Good time to do it. No time like the present. I don't think Nehemiah wasted any time getting to work when he found out the situation. I don't know when he did it in relation to finding out, but I bet you it wasn't long. And we need to do that, brethren. God bless us. O Father in heaven, lead us in the way we need to go. Bless us to remember that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And there are things that don't belong there and things that do belong there. Give us insight, Lord, to see those things that profane. Give us strength and the will to remove them. And give us insight, Lord, to see the things that do belong there. And give us grace to set them up in our hearts, in our minds, and to keep under our bodies, to bring them into subjection. To think on things that are pure and lovely, things that are holy. Good report, we pray. We thank You that You inhabit us by the Holy Spirit. We thank You that You've blessed us to be called from death into life. We thank You that You've taken up residence in our bodies. May we honor and glorify You by presenting our bodies always living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto You, which is our reasonable service and our privilege. In the name of Jesus, we pray it, the name above every name. Amen.